Welcome to the Peacock and Gamble podcast.
How, me Big Chief Ray Peacock,
hang on,
and me here with Sitting Bull at Gamble, do a podcast with Smoke Signal.
I'm not sure that's all right.
Why? What's wrong with that?
I'm not sure that's all right.
Hello, it's Peacock and Gamble podcast coming live from Africa.
No.
Where do they live? I don't know where they live.
It's
Indians.
America, isn't it? Native Americans.
Yes, and Native Americans we are.
And I'm not sure you can do that anymore.
How come?
I just don't think you can, because it's a stereotype. Not all of them are like that. A lot of them run casinos and are drunk.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, it works. I don't know, it works saying the right thing.
No, you don't, yeah. Do you?
But we'll try and do it.
Yeah.
We'll try and do it on and off. I'm always getting in trouble for saying the wrong thing.
You are, aren't
Welcome
you?
To the show. This is this week's one.
Yeah.
Have I messed it up already, doing that voice?
You know, no, you've not. I think we'll be all right.
Are you sure?
I think we'll be all right if we say it didn't happen.
I don't want to get in any bother.
No, well, you won't be in any bother, mate.
I don't want to get any bother and get shot by a cowboy, the good ones. the good guys.
Anyway, I don't think we could be in any more bother. This week's podcast is sponsored by News of the World.
Yeah, we are proper bother now. Trust us, that at the exact time that we sign up with them.
Yeah.
This is like when I signed with Michael Barrymore's manager on the day he had that party. Which is a real thing that genuinely happened.
Which is true, yeah. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it?
Oh.
What's your thoughts on the News of the World thing?
Well, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, nice one.
What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think we should explain
it's
to
like
people.
Question time, this, isn't it?
It's just like question time.
Yeah.
And we've proper hit the ground running as well. This is just the intro, but we're already now getting to the meat of the week's topicality news.
In question time, it'd still be the man at the front with the grey hair going, he is on question time.
Yeah, but that's not what's happening now. We are already discussing issues.
Although this bit here is probably giving him a chance to catch up.
Yeah, now we are dragging it out a little bit and ruining it for everybody. For those of you that aren't in the UK, the News of the World is a comic that comes out every Sunday. People have this thing about taking it seriously for some reason. They take it as they believe it's a newspaper, but it's not. It's quite clearly a comic, and you know, and sensationalist and that, and tabloidy and all the rest of it. It epitomises tabloidy.
Yeah.
But there's been an ongoing saga of phone hacking that they.
It was fine for a bit because it was just celebrities.
Yeah, just Hugh Grant and all that lot. Yeah. But they've now found out that they hacked the phone of people who've been in tragedies and disasters and their relatives
got murdered.
Yeah, so it's all a bit... this isn't a good thing to start the show with. It's all been a bit horrible, hasn't it? It's very simple. Just don't buy that paper.
No, what I have done...
Yeah?
I tell you, I've bought 5,000 copies of it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to burn them.
Right.
So that will show them, won't it?
Yeah, I suppose it will show them support, yeah.
Why?
The problem with the News of the World is that people don't necessarily realise is it's not... The News of the World is the Sun.
Yeah.
So you can't just boycott the News of the World. You'll have to boycott the Sun as well.
And the Times.
And the Times and the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
I think that's where people are going to find difficulty with the Sun. Because so many idiots buy the Sun.
Yeah, they do. I buy the Sun sometimes.
Oh, I buy the Sun.
If I'm in it.
Yeah, I buy the Sun all the time if I'm in it. If they've said that I provide monster laughs, at Broadmoor University.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was called.
It's something like university.
It was the one where all the murderers go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not talking to you. Welcome to the show.
Oh. Why aren't you talking to me?
What?
Why aren't you talking to me?
How can I tell you that if I'm not talking to you?
Well, that's a good point, but how are we going to get through this if you're not talking to me?
Right, well, I will talk to you about why I'm not your friend.
Right, okay.
Right? So I'll meet you halfway on it. And
thank you, hello.
No, I'm not saying hello.
Hello.
Mate, we've discussed this.
We're mates.
No, you're ruining this now.
Why?
Because we can have a big, massive public fallout, and then it will be all on Chortle.
Oh, right.
And all in the press about it.
Right.
Like Richard Erin and the other bloke, right? Like they've done on their podcast.
Is it Stuart McConey?
Stuart McConey, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And we have a big fallout as well, just like they did.
Yeah.
And then we can come back in a couple of months and get a listener.
Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you what I'm fed up with.
What?
I'm talking to the listener.
Oh.
I'll tell you what I'm fed up with, Ed Gamble. Gosh, he's getting on my nerves now. I don't like when he goes the toilet on his own. I know you say one about me.
Oh, I tell you I don't like these days.
What?
No, did listen.
Oh, yes, right.
Tell you I don't like these days, Ray Peacock. Because when I try and do something, and he is nasty about me, so I'm going to write it on the internet.
Yeah. I hate you, Ed.
What?
I don't...
I know, man. I don't...
I can't do this.
I know, me neither. I don't hate you.
I don't know how you could fall out with someone that you care about. If you're perpetuating a relationship on a podcast, how can you possibly fall out with a person?
Yeah, exactly, and he's not coping with it well, is he?
He's not coping with it well, no.
We saw him the other day, and he was just in his pyjamas, and he hadn't shaved.
Yeah, we did a gig with Richard Herring the other day, who we are friends with, and so please don't take this mocking as serious.
Yeah.
Because it's only semi-serious. we saw Richard, we did Jamie Oliver's Big Feastival.
Yeah.
In London's famous Clapham Common venue.
Yeah.
and he wasn't coping well, was he?
No, in his dressing gown, right, with an empty bottle of whiskey in the pocket.
Yeah, all unkempt, unshaven, as Ed said, all a big grey beard.
Yeah.
With a bit of yellow in it.
Yeah.
Don't know what that was. He had a roly behind his ear.
Yeah.
And he just had a picture of Stuart McConey in his hand, just... just wandering around, sad about it.
Really
and,
weird.
And what was horrible about the picture was it was signed to my dear friend Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
So that was horrible all round.
Yeah, but we cheered him up, didn't we?
Yeah, no, he was fine, wasn't he? Yeah. He knows what's what, that lad.
Yeah.
And we were all in the same boat at that gig. We were all...
I wish we were in a bloody boat.
I wish we were in a boat rather than in a lifeboat that wasn't doing very well in the sea.
Yeah.
So we got booked to Jamie Oliver's Big Feastival.
Yeah. Food so thing. That's fine. You know what? All right. It's a festival gig.
We expected it to be rough.
Yeah. Then they changed the times.
Good money. 500 each.
Yeah.
Not bad.
All right. Just reveal that.
Yeah. Not bad. 500 each.
Yeah. That's fine. Then they changed the times around. They said, Ed, hey, do you mind going on at 11:40 a.m? Which is the earliest gig I've ever done.
Right. Okay.
So I said, yeah, fine. Have you done a gig earlier than that?
Possibly.
Well, there's a reason you don't put comedy on that early, especially at an event, because not many people have shown up yet.
Do you know what? I think they could have put that on at 11 at night. I still think we'd have struggled to perform to a field.
Yeah, we were on the main stage, which, as the name suggests, is the biggest stage.
It was like, I don't know if you've ever been to Glastonbury. It was like the main stage at Glastonbury, but without all the flags.
Yeah, and the people.
Yeah.
So I probably, when I went on, there were probably about, I'd say, 20 people, all in separate groups, all spread around a giant field.
It was about a mile square.
Yeah, and so that was impossible. So I went on, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll do individual banter. I'll call them up one by one and chat to them and make them laugh one by one, which was going fine. And then I thought I'd do a bit of material, which I can't do, because I can't do it without laughs.
No, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I would have I was there in time to watch you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they did this little funny trick where the artist entrance, they didn't put a sign on it.
Yeah.
What they did instead was they just had a green fence that had some bits that would open as doors, but you couldn't tell where they were.
Not allowed to tell, no.
And it was the full perimeter of Clapham Common.
Yeah.
So I found it eventually by walking along and tapping it until I had an hollow sound.
Yeah, you have to pull one of the books out.
Yeah.
You have to pull the book out that says greed.
So I missed your first, I guess, 10 minutes, but I saw the last five.
We saw the last five because you just walked on.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
I thought it was incredibly unfair.
I turned around and I just saw you walk on. You'd obviously come straight in and walk straight onto the stage.
You looked genuinely happy to see me.
Yeah, I went, oh, hello, mate. You went, hello.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah. Just doing a concert to this field.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't let you stand there on your own. No. I don't think it was fair.
Fine, I only had, 10 minutes left.
I know, not in a patronising way. I know you were fine.
Yeah.
But it just didn't seem fair to me. I thought, well, if this is going to be how it is, then I don't see any reason why I can't just wander on.
Yeah, so we did a bit of our Edinburgh show.
Yeah, we did a little sneak preview of the Edinburgh show.
Oh, it tore it up.
To the field.
Yeah.
A little boy gave us an extra line for our Edinburgh show, which we're keeping, by the way. That was a good line, that. I went on.
You went on,
did
mate.
Did all my comedy after Richard Herring had been on.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Herring had stunk it up a bit. In fairness. I mean, I know we say that it's impossible as a gig.
Yeah.
But come on, Richard Herring.
He just started crying and going, Andrew, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, Andrew. Then he started kissing the floor, which was embarrassing. So Rich went on with a fine performance.
Yeah, although they did try and pull him off stage for being rude.
Apparently he said damp, and a mother backstage, terribly upset about that. So didn't want her child to hear it.
No.
So.
But anyway, that's enough about him.
Yeah.
Because then, who came on then?
Headliner.
You, the headliner of the whole gig, apart from athlete.
And on a walk.
Yeah, on your walk.
I had my sunglasses on all the way through it. Which I didn't realise until Richard Herring showed me on his phone that he filmed a bit of it.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, did I have my sunglasses on all the way through?
You put your sunglasses on deliberately before you went on, I
did
think.
Did I?
To be cool, yeah.
I can't
to be a cool dude.
That.
And then you forgot that they were on.
Was it like, so I did it as a rock concert?
Yeah, you did it like a concert. And then you said, let's all do a bit of Deo, like Freddie Mercury, except with a beard, which he never actually had a beard, apart from towards the end.
Yeah, his final days, which is true, that's true. So I'd done that.
Yeah.
I'd done my Freddie Mercury Deo, which went surprisingly well.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, this side of the field isn't doing it properly. So if you don't do it properly this time, I'm going to sing Bat Out of Hell all the way through. In my head, seeing an out.
Yeah.
And then I did it, and they did it properly, and then I pretended they hadn't done it properly. And did Bat Out of Hell all the way through anyway.
Yeah, you got to put it on your iPod, don't
with
you?
With a special cameo from Ed Gamble as a motorbike.
As a motorbike, and then doing other things, like the heart flying away.
Yeah, you did some fantastic mime.
Yeah.
So why are we not on Mal Watson's new programme on Dave? When... we can do all this improvisation.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about this thing, mate.
Well, this is the ideal platform for that.
Yeah.
If there's something you want to talk about, then what better place to do that than on an audio medium that records voice?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing now.
Yeah, so...
this is what they call a podcast, Ed.
Here I am. Watch out, I'm about to talk about a thing.
Right.
Which you will have seen about.
Seize this opportunity.
We all like Australia's Got Talent, don't we?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The comedian boy.
Well, no, not a comedian. Let's not call him that. You might have seen this story, everyone, if you read Chortle. Or it got big press in Australia, didn't it, I think?
I think it has been widely reported in Australia.
Yeah, there was a boy went on Britain's Got Talent, who apparently is a serial auditioner for talent shows.
Well, that's what they said.
As a singer.
That might just mean...
just done it as a singer before. Okay. I'm not willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And went on and did two other comics material, American comics material, and Lee Mack, who of course is from England.
Southport.
And they just showed a video of him then going back on after he'd been accused of all that.
Yeah, so he'd been on basically, he did, I know the bit of Lee's material that he did was...
the Robbie Williams
bit. When Lee talked about Robbie Williams coming out and saying, come on, you know this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did it word for word, didn't he?
Yeah, word for word,
In fairness. But he probably thought he was far enough away.
Yeah.
From the UK for that to never be found out.
Yeah.
So perhaps underestimated quite how well-known Lee Mack is.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the other guy, who I can't remember, the American
Jeff Keith.
Okay.
I
thought Lee dealt with it very, very well.
Just laughed it off.
Yeah, Lee
really
did laugh it off because Lee's done that material. He's finished that material.
Yeah.
It's recorded on DVD. There's no question that it's Lee's.
Yeah.
So what difference does it really make as far as he's concerned?
But then this bloke, then after all this, then he got through to the semi-final. They didn't kick him out of the competition or anything, even though they knew he ripped off material.
Yeah.
So they went, you can come back on as long as you do your own stuff.
Well, that's a good story for them, though, isn't it? You can see you can see why they've done that.
Yeah.
But also interestingly, the American guy.
Yeah. He went mental.
He was wishing death on him and everything. It was like, oh, this guy isn't even, he hasn't funny, he hasn't, can't have a
thought. Yeah, but perhaps I get the impression that he's less well known.
Yeah, that he's more of fair enough. No, I mean, there is a massive reaction from comedians when something is considered stolen.
But then it just brings up people who don't understand it. So, like, Brian McFadden is a judge.
Yes,
on Australia's Got Talent.
No, come on, he's earned that.
Yeah, he has earned that, because obviously he's a very talented man, and he married an Australian.
Yeah, so come on, he has earned that.
Yeah.
And Dani Minogue, of course, earned that.
She has earned that. She is Australian.
Yeah, and of course she knows about talent.
Her sister's talent.
Yeah, because she has watched her sister.
Yeah. Now, Brian McFadden gave it this brilliant argument where he says, I feel a bit sorry for the poor lad because it's all about the delivery, isn't it? It doesn't matter whose material it is.
All right, delivery comes into it.
Delivery comes into it, yeah, but it has to be your stuff as well. Firstly, the bloke's delivery was shit.
Yeah, he wasn't great. I mean, if you watch it on YouTube, after every joke he does, he looks like a dog that's just brought a ball back. he's just literally waiting for a treat.
Yeah.
waiting for a laugh. So he just, like, looks quite eager and happy.
Yeah.
I mean, let's also remember, this lad is 22 years old.
Yeah.
And perhaps his 30-year-old self will look back on this with nothing but cringe. He perhaps doesn't understand the implication of what he did.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't understand that community or that, you know.
But
he doesn't understand how comedy works and how people...
But then there were so many people using that argument, saying it's all about the delivery. And they were saying, oh, I'll go on and cover songs. It's like, well, that's fine. If he'd gone on and gone, now I'm going to do some of Lee Mack's material.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then that would have been fine. Yeah. But he wasn't. He went on, hello, Brian McFadden. Hello, I've just come here to perform my new song, Flying Without Wings.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I have written.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to go in and here's a little song I've put together for you this evening. Start spreading. that is the actual crystallised difference, isn't it? That's what the issue is there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. But, I mean, he got his comeuppance, didn't he?
Well,
although, I tell you what, that when he went on there again and did his own material, when I watched that, I was like, I could probably perform this material quite well.
Yeah. But it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, I know, it's in the delivery, right? But I wouldn't have ever got myself into that situation anyway.
No, you wouldn't have done.
But then, for some unbeknownst reason, he sang a song.
That was possibly the most painful thing.
He sang "I Started a Joke" with a choir. Going,
yeah.
Beautiful song, "I Started a Joke."
Yeah. Sure. I mean, they asked him, I think I heard on the clip, they asked him to do 70 seconds of his own material.
Yeah.
He got 30 seconds in and had to do a song.
I might mention as well, he didn't write "I Started a Joke."
No.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it was painful. It was painful.
Against my better judgment, I still felt for the lad. On a purely human level.
Yeah.
That he just stood there. Was literally the world, it seemed, threw things at him. And he still stood there with a smile going, I just want you to like me. That's all I want. They were insulting him.
Yeah.
Something I'd say, your material shit.
Yeah, all that. Your material sucks ass, mate.
And he's going, and he went, okay, thank you.
Yeah, the guy went, no, your material really sucks ass. I think you should start stealing stuff again.
Yeah.
Do other people's material. He went, oh, thanks, mate.
Just desperately trying to be a nice man.
Yeah. He does seem like a nice man.
Mate, I know for a fact he's a nice man because Brian McFadden said he's one of the funniest people to hang around with.
Yeah.
And that he really wanted him to do well. I do miss Brian McFadden. I wish he was more prominent in the UK.
I do miss Brian McFadden from when he got in a fight outside a kebab shop.
What happened that?
There was one day a scandal that he got in a fight outside a kebab shop. And I'll always remember it because the shop was called Abracababra.
And what was why was that a scandal?
I don't know, it's just old Brian McFadden's got in a fight.
Isn't that just the way that the UK acts all over? They can criticise it. Oh, yeah, he's had a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he puts his cock in Kerry Katona. No one says a bloody word.
I think that's a punishment in itself, though, isn't it?
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe that after the fight, he was arrested and took back to the jail. And he went, right, well, you've got to leave Westlife straight away. So that's what happened. He went, oh, come on, lads. And they went, no, you've got to leave it. He went, all right, that's fine. And rest of your punishment. See this, and he's going, no, please.
No, I can't put it in that waste disposal unit.
Yeah.
No, that's not a waste disposal, that's someone's private ninny.
That is Kerry Katona's ninny. That is not a medical waste facility. Oh, you have made a classic mistake there.
Ignore that number plate, because we don't know what that's doing in there. Won't you stay another day? So I went to see
what was that?
It was my introduction to talking about Take That.
Oh, can we not do more Take That, please?
By singing a song by...
Their Christmas number one.
Their Christmas number one by 17.
Yeah.
Mate.
What?
What a show.
Yeah. I saw you banging about it on Twitter, showing off.
What a bloody show, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great to see them all back together again.
Yeah.
All doing the songs that they like, Leave Before the Encore, Miss the Crush.
Did you?
Yeah. What? I left after their last song. They done Pray and then we left.
Oh, I hate that song.
Do you?
Yeah, particularly that one.
They done like a mashup of all their favourites.
Yeah.
Because they've got so many, mate. Then they done Pray and something else, and then we left.
So you didn't even see him do Angels?
No, he did Angels earlier.
And they done Stay Another Day or not?
Yeah, Stay Another Day, they done that.
Hey, I tell you what though, speaking of Angels, drives me bloody mental, you know.
What?
When you go and see a Robbie Williams concert, he comes out, doesn't he?
Oh, no.
He comes out, doesn't he?
Hang on.
And he goes, hey, come on, you all know this one.
No, you can't.
And then you get them all singing.
No.
No, that is no, that's fine, that joke now.
Is it all right? Is that public property
that's
now?
That's public joke now. As we discussed earlier on.
Yeah. No, because they came out as a four. And by the way, I did want to miss the crush on the tube.
Yeah.
Because what a crush it would have been. Because I'm not joking, even though they set up Samaritans for them girls when Take That broke up, I think a lot of them have been comfort eating.
Oh, really? Okay.
The size of the arses walking up to Wembley.
Oh, well, that's you mignon. You're hardly a spelt yourself, are you?
Yeah, but imagine two of my arses next to each other. That is one woman in some jeans.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, at least it's the step up from leggings.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. No, it was jeans because they are grown up now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So they came out as a four. Everyone happy. Doing...
How did they come out? How did they start it? Did they just walk on from the side?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did they really?
No, they had loads of different things that they were doing. None of the themes made sense. For instance...
At the beginning, though, the first reveal.
I can't remember, you know.
You can't remember the first reveal of the concert?
No.
Did a curtain go up? Did they come out of the floor like Michael Jackson?
They had loads of different bits where they come out of the floor.
All right, okay.
And they had a bit where they were on robot hands. And they had a bit where they themed a song around Alice in Wonderland for no discernible reason.
Well, it's a good book, isn't it?
And Mark Owen rode on the back of a big caterpillar.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? Oh, well, there's the reason.
Yeah.
Mark Owen clearly came into rehearsals one day, sulking.
Yeah.
And everyone... Everyone all day was going, what's up, Marky? What's up, Mark? Nothing, nothing. All right, then. And then he didn't say nothing for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're all right, Mark? No, fine, fine, not bothered. I'm not bothered. I just feel a bit depressed. Oh, that's all you, Mark. In our new concert, can I ride on a cat? Really, Mark? No, there's no reason for that, is there? No. I just don't really like to have a go on a caterpillar. And if we've got all this money, I don't see any reason why I can't have a go on a caterpillar. And then Gary went, I'll deal with this, lads. How about this, Marky? Alice in Wonderland. That's got a caterpillar in it, hasn't it? Oh, Gary, could I do that? We will do a song for Mark all about Alice in Wonderland. Yeah? Now, come on. Let's crack on with some more of my songs.
Right. So they done things as a four, a few of their newer ones, like Morrison's and X-Men, right?
Yeah.
Then they
older
went,
ones.
They went away, and there was a video of Robbie. Oh, they went mental, the women.
For video.
Yeah. They went mental. And by the way, the organisers of the concert had thought of this, because before the concert started, on the video screens, there were constant adverts for Tenor Lady.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, it's quite a surreal scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that there's videos for Tenor Lady with all these ladies that are now need it.
Yeah.
That you're there.
Yeah.
As a trendy young lad. They're under duress, pretty much, watching this concert, while all the time we know that Mark Owen's backstage with Gary Bonner saying, no, get off it for now, Mark. Mark, don't climb on the caterpillar yet.
Mark, it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet.
And he's not saying nothing, Mark. No. He's just looking, staring right back at Gary.
Yeah.
And carrying on climbing as he stares back, and Gary's going, Mark, get off the caterpillar. I mean it. We'll take it out of the show. No, you won't. We will take it out of the show. You're not my real dad.
Now, there was a lady there, actually, a pregnant lady.
I'd take that concert.
Yeah, a pregnant lady, and you would have thought, oh, that's a bit... She can't go to that, you know. She was heavily pregnant.
Was she, yeah.
But you could tell she was a big fan, because she was wearing a T-shirt, which she had written on herself.
Okay.
And with an arrow pointed down towards her bump.
Yep.
And she had written, I wish this was Gary's.
Really?
Yeah. I tell you what would be horrible, what? If that was Mark Owen's baby.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be terrible? I wish it, then Mark saw it from the stage.
Yeah, but anyway.
He wouldn't have seen it from up on top of that caterpillar. Too far away, isn't it?
Enough of them four, right? They've gone. Oh, here comes Robbie, right? Yeah. What a showman he is. For showman, read dick. I just hate it. People go, oh, he's such a showman. No, he is a prick.
Oh, he is a bit of a showman.
Yeah, it, like at the office party, he is like,
all right.
His name would be Ricardo.
Yeah, okay.
Ricardo!
Ricardo! Come and do some of your impressions, Ricardo!
He come out and done, I mean, I'd say 7 of his solo songs.
Okay, good.
It's not really a show with them together, particularly.
Well, is he sort of like the support act as well?
Well, yeah, no, but he's sort of, and then a headline act, really, because he comes out.
It might have been unusual for him to not have performed at some of his songs.
Yeah, I suppose.
Did Gary do any of his solo stuff?
No, I don't think so. And Mark Owen didn't do any of his solo stuff.
Really?
Either, no. There was one moment.
We didn't get treated to any of Howard's unreleased solo stuff.
No, he didn't do any DJing.
No.
There was one moment where when they were four, they all went down to the fences where all the people were and, like, leaned in, like, singing. So people were grabbing Mark Owen, like, going mental, grabbing Gary Barlow. No one touching Howard.
Really?
No one went for it.
I suppose he
probably because he dribbled on someone's head.
Maybe he looks a bit mucky, doesn't he?
He does a bit. Remember when he had them dreads?
I don't think anyone wishes it was Howard's.
Yeah. And Robbie, when he was on by himself, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but this is a lead up to it. When they came out as a four, before they started, they went, oh, thank you so much for coming to our concert. Let's all sing the national anthem.
What?
Let's all sing the national anthem.
And then a joke?
No, made everyone stand up, sing the national anthem.
Really?
Yep, horrific.
Such a Tory Barlow.
Yeah.
He really is, though.
It gets worse. Barlow's not the worst one. Robbie's out there by himself. Give me a cheer if you're English.
Right.
I'm so proud to be English.
Really?
Yeah, give me a cheer if you're English. Everyone cheered. I just wanted to go, can no one else join in with this? And it's not even British. He's just gone with English.
He's gone with English, yeah.
Horrible. And getting them all to cheer if they're English and how proud he is to be English.
It sounds like you had a wonderful time at your concert.
I did. It was a real ball, mate. And they've done all the ones I like.
Well, then, for all the criticism I've given, I don't mind as long as you enjoyed yourself.
I did, yeah.
And I don't want anyone having a go at you for just enjoying yourself at the concert.
Well,
and being a light-hearted lad.
They already have.
Who had a go at you?
You know, you have spoken to them as well.
I have spoken to them on Twitter. I know.
On Twitter, because I was putting all my funny comments about Robbie Williams being being funny.
Which were actually harmless enough.
Yeah, they were. I didn't say it was a shit concert.
No.
Because it wasn't. It was all right.
Yeah, you said they'd done a million love songs. But that was a long concert. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I did say apparently thousands of people find Robbie Williams funny. I'm obviously doing something wrong.
Yeah, well, that's
fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
But
that's more self-deprecating, isn't it?
I got a response from a woman called at Robbie's Angel.
Yeah, now the thing is...
she was completely unbiased about the whole thing.
I wasn't going to say her name until I entered into discourse with her.
Yeah, she got rude with you, didn't she?
Yeah, so she replied to you saying, why did you go if you're going to make a joke out of their amazing performance? I know you're a comedian, and you're was wrong, by the way. Yeah. Apostrophe,
as a lot of people pointed out to her.
Did they really?
Yeah.
A comedian. But this isn't funny.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds like you've gone on there and made a joke about Maddie.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to about Take That.
About Robbie, yeah.
So I saw that, made me laugh, and then I thought, I doubt Ed follows her, and I doubt she follows you.
No, she doesn't, no.
So she's obviously at home, like,
because I put the hashtag Take That, so she's obviously looking at all the hashtags.
So she kicked off, you retweeted it, and that was the end of that. But then I thought, do you know what, I want to shout at her.
Yeah.
But then I thought, no, I'm going to play this
different. I tell you what, I didn't want to enter into a discourse with a woman who puts her location as Robbie's bed / Derby.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't know that Robbie's bed isn't in Derby. So let's not criticise her too much in case they're both factually correct.
I don't think he has a bed, mate. He's always up because he's addicted to Red Bull.
He is addicted to Red Bull, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I said to her, well said, Robbie's Angel. Why did Ed Gamble go? In fact, why did anyone go? You're right. You shouldn't make a joke about some things. Right? Which is actually fairly innocuous, just a bit teasy, but not anything dramatic. And she said, what an awful attempt at a stupid joke. Right?
Yeah.
So she's very angry.
Yeah, very angry. Very angry lady. But I've looked at her Twitter account. All she talks about is Take That.
I mean, we can't necessarily rule out that this is actually Robbie's Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So let's not say for definite.
Yeah.
We already know that Twitter. It's in Robbie's bed.
Yeah.
That she is writing them from.
Yeah.
So she said, what an awful attempt at a stupid joke. And I said, Robbie Williams? That's a, that's a bit harsh of you. He's not that bad. So I was actually paying him a compliment.
Yeah.
And she said, it is quite clear by my name and picture that I love Robbie more than life. So just fuck off, grow up, and get a life.
Oh.
Now, I had several problems with that. First off, it was the repetition of life. So she loves Robbie more than life, but I should get a life. Right?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's self-explanatory. Why I should have an issue with her telling me to grow up when she's just said that she loves Robbie Williams more than life. So I had an issue with most of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I homed in on a saying on my picture, which is a picture of Robbie Williams and Mark Owen touching the foreheads together. And I said, God, is that you? You look like little baby Mark Owen. Please don't swear, Mark. It doesn't suit you. And she said, no, that is not me. It is Mark Owen. In my picture, with his best mate, Robbie.
His best mate, Robbie.
Yeah.
He should have said, I think Robbie's best mate is Jonathan Wilkes, actually.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Jonathan Wilkes doesn't see that. Yeah. I wish I'd said that now. Is it too late? It is too late, because she's blocked me.
Yeah.
This was the last thing that I said, and then she didn't reply to this. I said, right, I'm not getting this. Are you Robbie or Mark? Did the other two die? I know Stephen Gately did, sadly, to make it a four. Nothing back from that.
Nothing back from that.
But I didn't like quite how abusive she went with it.
Yeah, it was...
all fuck this.
Very protective over Robbie.
Yeah, fuck this, fuck that. That could be Robbie's mum, maybe, or sister.
Yeah, from Robbie's bed.
Yeah, you never know, do you?
Well, she got to bed when Robbie moved out.
Well, that's pretty much us done, but before we go, I've got to do the section that we've all looked forward to. I'm starting to put it at the end.
I thought we got away with it.
Because I know that people like listening to it, this bit, so they wait for this bit, so they're listening to the whole podcast now.
Right.
Just to get to this point.
Rather than listening to it and then stopping after you've done this bit.
Yeah, which most people probably do.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. It's time for the regular running section, which, by the way, has now been proven as being successful, because when I said last week, come on, say if you want to enter the competition, you've got to enter it, get involved, then they all did.
They didn't, about four people did.
Miles more than that.
Oh yeah, count them.
Miles more than
that. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't count because I can't get it up on the screen at the moment because we're recording.
Yeah.
But it's miles more than that.
All right.
Over at peacockandgamble.com on the forum. They're all on about it. Right? So.
What was the answer to last week's then?
Petrol.
All right, okay.
Right, so here is. Well done, everyone that got that. Yeah. Almost everyone got it.
Yeah.
So here's this week's one where Ray says a food or a drink, says the ingredients of it, reads them out loud, and then in the middle of the ingredients, Ray will say a rogue ingredient.
Right.
Right. I mean, maybe we should start calling this section rogue ingredient.
Yeah, that's nice.
No, but
petrol. We could just call it petrol.
No, because that doesn't actually explain the premise. So, in the middle of all the ingredients, there will be a rogue ingredient, and then you've got to spot that, right?
It's petrol.
Might not be petrol. You've got to spot that, and then if you get it right, then we say, well done.
Just send him petrol now.
The following week. This week, to link it nicely to the old section, which was called Ray Says a Food, and
says a food.
Reminds you of the food or drink that you've had in the past, and so that one we used to do. This week, water.
Oh.
Bottle of Evian water.
Right.
And I'll give you the ingredients of a bottle of Evian water.
Ingredients.
And you tell me which is the rogue ingredient in this. Right, here we go. So here's the water. Get the ingredients of that.
The ingredients of it. The ingredients of
which
water.
Maybe it's on the inside of the... Might be inside this.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Nope, nothing there.
No.
What's the ingredients? I thought by law they had to have ingredients.
It's water. It'll just be water.
No, it's going to be petrol, mate, but I'm...
No.
Let me just find the ingredients and I'll...
Well, say, mate, just say water, petrol.
Store in a clean, cool, dry... That's not it.
No, but it's just water.
Best
There's
before
not...
date indicated.
Ingredients.
Official bottled water of Wimbledon. Nothing. All right, well, sadly, this week, there is no Ray's ingredient, rogue, what all the things I said before, because Evian are breaking the law and not putting the ingredients
No, it's water. That's
on
all
their
it
products.
Is. That's all it is, water.
So there'll be another one next week. I don't mean another one. There will be a new one next week. If there is a podcast next week.
What?
Because, come on.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Edinburgh now.
Edinburgh's coming up.
Yeah.
The Edinburgh Fringe. So, I'd like to recall the army.
Yes, please, come back.
You've been on shore leave, and that's fine. You've probably had it off with a prostitute.
Yeah, probably got one on your knee playing the piano.
Yeah, you might have a little sore on the end of your penis.
Yeah.
Which you should get looked at.
Yeah, you should do, by the ship's doctor.
Yeah, they say that if you have unprotected sex with a prostitute in Vietnam, always urinate immediately afterwards.
Do they?
I don't know if that helps. I don't know if that helps.
On her?
Yeah, right in her face.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough of doing all that, because we now need the army back.
Yes.
The army first time round was fantastic, it was great, and then we just let it fall away a little bit.
Yeah.
Because what we were doing was a dry run, which brings us back to the Vietnamese prostitute. So we'd like that groundswell of support again.
You did so well on the dry run that you come back now for the war.
Yeah, come back now for the actual war.
Yeah.
Which is the Edinburgh Fringe. So
yeah.
We're there from the 3rd of August to the 28th of August.
Yes.
Doing our show and also doing the podcast on the Sundays that fall within that.
Yeah, we're doing emergency broadcast every night and the podcast on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st and the 28th.
Also at the Dome as well.
Yes.
It'd be great if we could now start doing our army business all over the internet. To get a bit of momentum as we go into Edinburgh.
Yeah, build up a bit of publicity before we get into Edinburgh, please.
We're doing loads of publicity. We've got quite a lot of things coming in.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we should really mention until maybe next week, until they're probably confirmed down.
Until they're confirmed or done, we'll mention them.
But we're doing some really exciting, really fun stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I know the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I know the one that I'm thinking of as well.
And it's on the television.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's not just that it's on the television, I'm really excited about it as well. I've never replied to an email so quickly.
I did notice how quickly you replied to that.
Just saying, yeah, we will do it and we'll do it for no money. That sounds brilliant. That would be a really good laugh. So we're going to be doing stuff as well. It'd be great. Let's get the team going. Let's scrum down.
Scrum down. So you're going from an army metaphor, and then within that we're doing rugby, are we?
Yeah, ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
I do see it as that we are a big scrum.
Yeah.
That us and our fan base, or let's be honest, our friends.
Yeah.
Not real life friends, Jack Rebel. So, yeah, so let's scrum down. So it's me and Ed, and we've got our arms around each other. And then we'll put our arms around you as well.
Are you the hooker?
Or you lot. Yeah, I'll be hooker.
Okay, I'm tight head prop.
So we need a prop on the left-hand side, because I want my right arm around Ed, ideally.
Yeah.
Ed's going to put his arm around someone as well.
Yeah.
We're going to make a
girl, if there's one there.
Yeah, a girl, if there's one going. The front row is about 40 people.
Yeah.
Which makes the back row into 20 people.
Yeah.
Or whatever the maths is.
Yeah.
But let's make a big scrum and have a good old push.
Yeah.
Let's push towards that line.
Team Edinburgh.
Yeah, Team Edinburgh. Because Team Edinburgh, by the way, pretty fierce, pretty ruthless.
Pretty big.
A dirty team.
Yeah.
Very dirty team. They'll give you sly digs in the scrum. Loose arms, studs down the down the shins.
So what we're basically saying is, apart from all these analogies, you know, if you feel like you want to help, you enjoy it, and you want to promote it a bit, then that'd be lovely.
Be our Peacock and Gamble parachute.
What?
We are hurtling.
So we're a scrum.
We are hurtling towards the Edinburgh.
Jumped out of an army plane.
We are hurtling towards the Edinburgh Fringe ground. Right. We have reached maximum velocity.
Yeah.
And we're gonna die unless our parachute defense open right and envelop air to make our descent.
The air of promotion.
Success and promotion. Yeah. That to capture the success air.
Yeah.
And bring us slowly down to the Edinburgh Fringe ground.
Yeah.
Where we can fall onto the grass.
Yeah.
Harry A. Award. And
well, yeah, just yeah, thanks guys.
Yeah. Cheers for that. Thanks for your support. See you next week.
Peacock and Gamble podcast was devised and performed by Ray Peacock and Ed Gamble. All music by the Tiger Lilies, except for the last one, which is performed by Frank Sidebottom. The Peacock and Gamble podcast is a Ready production hosted by Chortle.co.uk. See you next week.